If the PLO is allowed to consolidate a new communist state, it will surely destroy Israel and launch an unlimited global war of terrorism. On the other hand, the PLO's revolution is not an Arabic or Muslim war. It is a communist war of national liberation, and it depends entirely on Israeli and American cooperation for its victory. Unless we voluntarily surrender to the PLO, it will never have the strength to conquer Israel. Its support, after all, does not come from the Arabs. So who is really funding the PLO? The surprising but widely ignored truth is that the United States taxpayer pays virtually the entire bill for PLO terrorism. This has been accomplished through a variety of avenues. The most direct example can be seen in our foreign aid program. The U.S. Agency for International Development has given over $100 million to PLO front groups in the West Bank and Gaza since 1975. With the new Israeli agreement to allow a PLO state in the territories, the U.S. has now promised at least $250 million more in such direct financing. Indirectly, the U.S. has given the PLO tens of millions of dollars per year through its foreign aid program to Arab nations, which have received as much American aid as Israel since 1948. The Arab nations, responding to PLO blackmail and U.S. diplomatic influence, have forwarded some of this American aid to the PLO. Saudi Arabia, for example, has been pressured by the Clinton administration to restore its PLO funding. Furthermore, U.S. aid to the Soviet bloc, in the form of industry, technology, and tens of billions of dollars per year, translates into the weapons found in PLO arsenals. But by far the largest aid program for the PLO can be found in the United Nations, which is funded primarily by the United States. During the 1948 war that established the Nation of Israel, some 500,000 Palestinian Arabs panicked and fled to surrounding areas. Rather than allow them to resettle, the United Nations set up its Relief and Works Agency, or UNRWA, to maintain these refugees in special camps as welfare dependents. These dozens of camps in Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and the West Bank and Gaza remain under UNRWA administration to this very day. The UNRWA has spent billions of dollars, mostly from the United States, supposedly on such humanitarian projects as education, medicine, welfare, and other basic services, as well as to hire some 17,000 local Palestinians to operate the program. In reality, the Palestinians on staff have largely been PLO members who have seized control of the UNRWA. Much of this was discovered when the Israelis drove the PLO out of Lebanon in 1982. The refugee camps, and the schools and hospitals in particular, had been transformed into military bases containing vast stores of weapons. All UN schools indoctrinated Palestinian youth in revolutionary PLO ideology, and some had even become terrorist training centers complete with weapons, uniforms, and modern technology. The UNRWA published various propaganda materials on behalf of the PLO, and some evidence indicated that the agency had secretly funneled money directly into PLO terrorist operations. In 1977, one PLO official told an undercover reporter that the UNRWA budget, then about $200 million per year, constituted almost the entire income for the PLO. Although estimates of the PLO budget vary widely, UNRWA spending may now pay for about half of all PLO activities. Since the 1970s, other UN agencies have also provided their resources to the PLO or its front groups in the West Bank and Gaza. These include the International Labor Organization, the World Health Organization, UNESCO, the UN Development Program, and about a dozen other agencies. The PLO helps direct the spending of these programs, and its members are trained on UN grants. Many UN agencies produce PLO propaganda materials or host forums for PLO spokesmen. But most importantly, these agencies have been funding the growing PLO infrastructure in the West Bank and Gaza, which now organizes and sustains the Intifada. The United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, or UNIFIL, a peacekeeping force that operated from 1978 to 1982, was a spectacular example of UN collaboration with the PLO. UNIFIL ignored the formation of PLO military and terrorist bases in the demilitarized zone, allowed armed PLO units nearly unhindered movement, and refused to stop brazen terrorist attacks. UNIFIL provided supplies, including sophisticated communications equipment, to the PLO, and gave the PLO intelligence reports on Israeli military positions. Some UNIFIL troops were even caught smuggling explosives into Israel for terrorist purposes. Israel was finally forced to invade when the PLO began conducting attacks from within UNIFIL territory, sometimes even under the UN flag. It is little wonder that Yasser Arafat and other PLO leaders, and the Soviet Union, have since 1990 called for UN peacekeeping troops to protect a new PLO state in the West Bank and Gaza. The Clinton administration has recently joined this chorus, and the Rabin government of Israel is preparing to give in.